The One with the Pottery Barn Couch, written by Knox and Thea, and There Must Be a Lock, and read by Flower Parish. This is a DC / Marvel crossover, rated for teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply, featuring the relationship Bucky Barnes / Clint Barton / Jason Todd, and Dick Grayson and Jason Todd. This is part one of the Marshmallow Crime Lords series. Abridged summary, in which Dick goes full mom wing, attends a controlled demolition, and doesn't hallucinate at all. Don't you get lonely sometimes? Not all of us need adoration like oxygen, Jason snarks. I mean, even before everything, you had trouble opening up, and I think it's important to, hey, my right hand has been there when no one else was, Jason says flatly. And by that, I mean when it dug me out of my coffin. Steph chokes on nothing and wheezes a couple of times while Jason tries to relocate his train of thought. Just kidding, Jason says. I have a dog, a boyfriend who wears an apron when he bakes, and a couch from Pottery Barn. Domestic as fuck. That gets a solid laugh before Dick continues. I know that your, profession complicates things. What could you possibly mean? Jason asks innocently, wiping blood off a knife. But everybody deserves to find love.
You mean, no matter how many people they've murdered?
That wasn't...
You're not wrong. It's hard to find someone with shared life experience, Jason says. Or, you know, death experience.
Dick sighs. I worry about you is all, he says sincerely.
I can take care of myself, asshole.
But it sounds like he might be smiling a bit under the hood, and he hasn't threatened to push Dick off the dock yet, so Dick feels pretty damn good about how this is going. Emboldened, he puts a hand on Jason's shoulder and says, I know you can, but you don't have to.
Okay, that's enough, Babs interrupts via comms. No more rom-coms for you. You're cut off.
Is there a dating app for vigilantes? Tim wonders out loud. Huh. Let's be real. If there was, he'd totally clean house, Steph points out. Everybody loves a brooding bad guy who reads and drives a bike and occasionally commits felonies.
I'll put that in my bio, word for word, Jason says wryly.
He brushes his hands off on his thighs and gives the closest unconscious criminal a kick. It doesn't audibly break bones, so Dick decides that qualifies as gentle and elects not to mention it. Thanks for helping out. You heading back to your turf? He asks. Want company for the rest of your patrol?
Nah, I'm good. It's been quiet lately.
He hesitates before saying,
There's a new player around. Got a lot of the usual suspects watching their backs.
Oh yeah? Anything we should know about?
Not at the moment. I'll keep you posted.
Offer stands, though. Anytime.
I'm used to doing it alone at this point.
That's what I'm worried about, little wing, Dick sighs. Jason hesitates. It's hard to tell through the voice modulator, but his voice sounds a little strained when he says,
I do appreciate you looking out for me.
I worry because I care, Dick reminds him. Just because they were raised in environments without any sort of responsible parental oversight doesn't mean they can't begin to break the cycle of generational trauma. Or at least that's what Dr. Cooper says. And yeah, Dick might have been dragged to therapy kicking and screaming, but he can't deny that the whole thing has really opened his eyes.
I might take you up on that offer sometime soon.
Jason clears his throat. He sounds like he might be choked up right now. Holy shit. Dick is getting through to him. He's making a difference. Dick beams at him and wonders if he can get away with a hug right now. But before he can reach out, Jason pulls out the grapple, shoots him a two-fingered salute, and swings on his way. Wow, Steph says. Tim says, You really went full Hallmark there, didn't you? He out-dicked himself. Steph snickers. Dick can hear the intake of breath that means Babs is about to scold her before she decides to hear it as a lowercase d. I think it went well, Dick says brightly.
Cass is busy applying a pressure bandage to an unconscious goon who got on the wrong end of Jason's knife, but she spares a moment to give Dick a disparaging look. He can't actually see it under the mask, but he's familiar with the posture. If by went well you mean didn't end in grievous bodily harm, Tim says. Another goon groans quietly, and Tim adds, for the participants directly involved, which, to be fair, is the exact barometer by which I measure any interaction with Hood, but I do sometimes wonder if maybe I should raise my standards.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Babs
says.
GCPD en route.
I just want him to be happy, you know? When I think about him going home to one of those nasty safe houses all by himself. Steph interrupts. Can we change his code name to Mom Wing? Mama Bird, Tim suggests. Mother Hen? You're never gonna believe this, Dick says, staring down at his phone for a moment after he ends the call. Jason invited me to patrol with him tonight. Just can't go in the Nightwing getup. Not to say I told you so, but... Bruce says. I told you so, he finishes triumphantly. People flourish when you give them unconditional support and open affection, Bruce. Just you wait. This entire family is about to turn over a new leaf. Dick is sure of it. Dick meets Jason on the edge of his territory, in a warehouse that Dick realizes he's able to differentiate from others. It's honestly depressing, the amount of time he spends in warehouses. This one, though, is memorable for its conveniently abundant catwalks along the ceiling. He might even go so far as to call it his favorite. Jason's already waiting when Dick arrives at Bat O'Clock, night well and set in by the time Dick swings through the broken skylight that he used as an escape hatch last time. Dick's still not used to seeing him like this. Jason's always hidden his insecurities under layers of bravado and recklessness, but the confidence doesn't seem to be feigned anymore. He's always had the same barely restrained kinetic energy as Dick, the same hyperactive bounciness that Bruce saw and honed in on both of them, putting it to good use, giving it a purpose. But Jason carries it differently now, and it's not just the fact that he's built like a brick shithouse. He's in charge here, in his territory, in his element. The rules are different. Dick really hopes there aren't any henchmen lurking, because he bounds in for a hug before Jason can complain. He's not that different. Oh my god, Jason grumbles, but he tolerates it. He looks Dick up and down, taking in what Dick's calling his stealth wing look, and rolls his eyes. Sure, fine, whatever. This'll be fun, Dick says. Just you and me? About that. Jason hesitates. There's kinda something I wanted to talk to you about, and I was hoping it could actually be just us. No bats. Don't worry, Babs. It'll be a quiet night. We can handle it. Sure, Dick says, and turns off the comm over the sounds of Babs protesting. Look, I was trying to keep this a secret from the family, Jason says, but after everything you said the other night, I felt like I could trust you with it. His voice has that funny, strained cadence to it, and his shoulders shake slightly as he takes a breath. He must be nervous. Anything. There is somebody I want you to meet. He pauses. Somebody special. Seriously? Dick says, and then has to clear his throat, because his voice is going into actual bat levels of squeaky. Oh my god, how long have you been together? How did you guys meet?
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to dial all this back by, like, at least 20%,
Jason drawls, waving a hand at Dick's general state. If Dick could see his face, he's pretty sure he'd be blushing the same color as his helmet. Maybe we could all have dinner sometime. I mean, I know the family is a lot, but maybe next time we do dinner at the manor?
I maybe invited him. Tonight.
You what?
Invited him along. To patrol with us.
He knows about this whole thing.
Yeah, you could say that. And honestly, if you want to invite him to family dinner, be my guest, Jason says.
And Dick is too busy picking his jaw up off the floor to be suspicious of that casual tone.
This must be him now, Jason says, and looks over to the door, where a figure has melted silently out of the shadows. Then, the figure takes a step forward, and an emergency light throws a red glint off shiny metal, and Dick almost falls off his perch. He flails, somersaults around the railing, and lands on his feet before immediately ducking away behind some crates, which is all the cover he's got right now. Hood, he hisses. We've got company. Yeah, like I said, Jason says, shoulders shaking again. That is the Winter fucking Soldier, Dick Whisper shouts, glaring. Are you laughing at me, you smug little... We do actually have company, though, the Winter Soldier says gruffly, head tilting to one side like he's listening. Got at least three, maybe four cars incoming. He cuts his chin toward the east wall. And I think the welcome party showed up early, with an extra present for us. If I knew there was going to be a party, Dick starts. Then the Winter Soldier pushes Dick away from the east wall, behind his own body, just as something explodes outside the warehouse.
It's fine, Jason assures,
shouting over the resounding crash of Dick's favorite warehouse this side of Park Row, losing an entire wall.
We planned for this.
You invited me to a controlled demolition, Dick yells back. Well, it's Jason. Maybe this is his idea of fun. Technically, we planned for this to be happening next week, when we'd have time to get our backup plans in order, the Winter Soldier says.
But yeah, explosions are a regular feature of our date nights, Jason says, coming between them to take point as tires screech to a halt outside, doors slamming quickly in their wake.
Shit, I think that was a load-bearing wall, the Winter Soldier muses. Jason eyeballs it.
Nah, we're fine.
Do you have anything useful hidden in the spandex, or do you need to set this one out? 'Cause those cute little batons you love aren't gonna do shit against AKs. The Winter Soldier draws two SIGs from matching thigh holsters and shoots Dick a look of sheer, bloodthirsty joy. Dick has approximately 1 second to think, holy shit, they're perfect for each other. And another to think, holy shit, we're all doomed. Then, there are ski-masked thugs streaming in through the settling dust, and Dick is grappling up to the catwalks. It all settles into the familiar rhythm of a fight. Senses narrowed, muscles singing, calculating angles and swings to maximize his momentum in this confined space. The only unusual part is the occasional glimpse of his precious baby brother and his mass murderer of a boyfriend tearing through a huge swath of thugs. Dick doesn't like how Jason conducts his business, but it'd be a cardinal sin against all performers everywhere if he refused to acknowledge that at least Jason looks good while he works. The way he works with the Winter Soldier? Gory, sure. Excessive use of blood sprays for flair? Definitely. Unnecessarily risky maneuvers for style? Absolutely. But Dick knows art when he sees it. Are you having fun yet? The Winter Soldier asks, when he takes a moment to reload in the cover of a chunk of fallen wall. Are you... Dick starts, and luckily is interrupted before he can ask the Winter Soldier whether he's some sort of psychopath. Because, yeah, he definitely is. When all is said and done and escorted off this mortal coil, Jason and the soldier double-check the bodies while Dick grapples up to the roof via a semi-stable light fixture and does a quick sweep of the building's surroundings. All clear. And when he pauses at the edge of the blown-out skylight, poised to drop back inside, he catches Jason, with his helmet off and his forehead tucked against the curve of the Winter Soldier's neck. The corner of his smile is visible, and for a moment he's just... still. Calm. Dick hasn't seen him like that in a long goddamn time. The building shifts alarmingly under Dick's feet, and the Winter Soldier mutters, "Told you it was load-bearing." Jason straightens up immediately, punching his maybe-not-so-awful boyfriend in the shoulder. Dick swings back down from the apparently no longer semi-stable light fixture, which dislodges from the ceiling halfway through his arc. Dick goes sailing through the air, and yeah, he's really damn good at falling gracefully, but there's only so much he can do in this particular situation. He sails through a mercifully empty window, and he lands sprawled like a ragdoll on a pile of what might be construction materials. The windowpane must have shattered in the explosion, but the glass had to go somewhere, and apparently it took roughly the same trajectory as Dick.
He's still trying to process the blinding slice of pain in his ribs when the building gives an almighty creak and starts to crumple. "Fine, you were right," Jason is shouting, as the pair of them come hurtling through a closed door a split second before the roof caves in. "Dickhead?" "Over here," Dick says, but it comes out squeakier than he anticipated. He tries to roll over on his side, but gives up almost immediately. He's fine where he is. "Nightwing, meet the Winter Soldier," says Jason, leaning over him and ruining his view of the beautiful Gotham sky. "My boyfriend." "It's a pleasure," Dick says weakly, and God bless all those fucking Wayne galas for small talk practice. His mouth moves on autopilot while his vision tunnels and his brain says something with a whole lot more expletives involved. "You were saying something about dinner," Jason asks nonchalantly. "Oh, God, nightmare fodder right there." "You smug little shit," Dick blurts out, and then everything goes black. When Dick wakes up, he's being carried. He's being cradled to a really absurdly muscled chest that's covered in leather and smells like explosions, and carried in one goddamn arm, like Paris Hilton would carry her fucking chihuahua. Also, his entire body is screaming in agony, but that's nothing new. The chihuahua thing is. "I don't like it," Jason is saying, low and grumpy. The chest against which Dick is cradled rumbles with quiet words. "I don't either, but the next closest option is, what, the one by the park?" "Don't have his blood type there right now either," Jason sighs. "The medical kit at home is..." Dick tries to take a deep breath to interject himself into the conversation, but there is a fiery lash of bad, bad ouch around his ribs, and his vision goes spotty for a few seconds. When he tunes back in, Jason is saying something about, "Shot him up with enough that he won't remember anyway. Call and give him a heads up, just in case." "Maybe it'd be nice to be a rich lady's spoiled chihuahua," Dick thinks. And then, "Holy painkillers, Batman!" And then he is out for the count. The next time he wakes up, he's lying on his back on a cold, hard surface, with a light shining into his eyes like a jackhammer. He's seen episodes of Criminal Minds that start this way. This can't be good. "Ow," he manages, around a tongue that doesn't want to listen to him. With a Herculean effort, he drags his arm up and drapes it over his eyes. With the light gone, he can sorta kinda think slightly more straightish. "You back with us, Dickie Bird?" Jason asks, and Dick grins, because if Jason's here, it can't be too bad. Then Jason snorts and says, "Dunno, it's pretty bad." "Almost done," comes another low voice. "Oh my God," Dick says faintly. "Yeah, I bet that hurts like a bitch," Jason says. "No, I mean, you're dating. Oh my God." "See, this is why I didn't want to bring it up," Jason says, with poorly disguised glee. "I knew you'd make a whole thing of it." "Where am I?" "Gotham," Jason says. My kitchen island, to be precise." "The fuck?" He didn't want to get bloodstains on the new couch. "Since when do you care about getting bloodstains on anything?" "Since we got a new goddamn couch," Jason says. "It's nice, not letting you bleed out on it." "We went to Pottery Barn," says the Winter Soldier. "See, I told you, domestic as fuck." "You guys live together." Dick moves his arm, trying to look around, because Jason in a Pottery Barn furnished safe house is something he's gotta see, but... ow. "This is why I wanted to get black towels," Jason mumbles. "You're concussed, dumbass. Stop looking at the light. One more stitch and then I can turn it off." "You remember I can see in the dark just fine, right?" the Winter Soldier asks. There's a pause. Heavy boots clomp across the floor, a lamp clicks on, and the overhead light clicks off. Dick sighs with relief. It still doesn't feel great when he slowly turns his head to get a look at his surroundings, but at least he's not being stabbed repeatedly in the eyeballs. It's normal. Like your average goddamn apartment, maybe even nicer than your average. It has a wall of exposed brick, and big windows, and high ceilings, and judging by the lights, or lack thereof, coming through the windows, they're right on the riverfront. And there's a dog bowl by the door? "You have a record player," Dick says hazily. "Mine," the Winter Soldier says. "Call me old-fashioned." "And a display case of swords?" Not mine, surprisingly, Jason says. Hey, babe, pass me the towels. What the fuck? Dick says weakly. This place is fucking normal. Sure, except for the missile-proof windows and biometric locks. There's a massive, overstuffed, floor-to-ceiling bookshelf on one wall. That's Jason's. Dick would put money on it. And suddenly, he's feeling a bit teary-eyed for reasons that don't have much to do with the excruciating pain of being sewed up by an ex-KGB cyborg. Jesus, are you crying? Jason says. Yeah, let's get you another shot. Holy opioid epidemic, Batman, Dick mumbles. But yeah, that sounds good. A robotic female voice announces,
Incoming, confirmed resident.
Not so normal. I thought you said you called him, Jason says. I did. He didn't answer. I left a message. The front door opens, and in walks a tall blonde with a disastrous haystack of hair, accompanied by a dog. He has a grocery bag in one hand, a coffee cup in the other, and the dog's leash between his teeth. He's practically juggling everything as he kicks off his shoes, slides the deadbolts back into place, and spits out the leash to start rambling. She got called in, so I'm back early. My phone took a dip, by the way, so if either of you tried to call me... The guy stops short, staring. Ritual killing or impromptu surgery? Dumbass vigilante, Jason says, exasperated. You know, the usual. Ah, fuck, lucky down. Not until I wash my goddamn hands. He holds his blood-stained hands out of the way to rock up on his tiptoes and kiss the blonde on one scruffy cheek. Holy shit, I think you mixed up the painkillers and the hallucinogens, Dick says. He squints, waiting for the blonde to disappear in a shower of cartoon birdies. Cute, right? Says the Winter Soldier, low and smug. Jay, what was that sleeping pill I had a bad reaction to when we were kids? Dick asks. Where I kept seeing that circus elephant out of the corner of my eye? Think there's some of that shit mixed in whatever sample you struck me with, because that was literally just a standard anesthetic. What kind of moron do you think I am? Yeah, but the standard anesthetic doesn't make me hallucinate my childhood best friend from the circus, Dick points out, in what he thinks is an incredibly reasonable tone, all things considered. The hallucination drops the grocery bag on the floor, knuckling at his eyes before staring right back at Dick. The Winter Soldier is asking whether the eggs are broken, and Jason is muttering about one goddamn thing to myself, but no. And a dog is barking, and there's an honest-to-God apron hanging on a hook by the oven. Look, I'm gonna be honest, Dick tells the apparition. I am obviously tripping balls right now, but as hallucinations go, it's a fun one. Good to see you too, Dick, Clint says, with a familiar dimpled grin. Dick smiles in spite of himself and passes out again. The end.